Hey, listeners, I am so excited to share these interviews with Ginny Urich of 1000 Hours Outside. A quick note, I had some issues with my mic during recording, so my audio is not quite the quality it is on our regular lesson episodes. But Ginny's audio is wonderful, and that's what matters because she has some great things to share with you. I hope you'll enjoy this conversation with our guest, Ginny Urich.
Hello world, wake me up to another good morning, time to go.
Are you ready to explore God's wild and wonderful world? Welcome to the Nat Theo Podcast. I'm your host, Erin Lynam. I'm a certified master naturalist, Bible teacher, and author, and I am so excited to dive into God's written word and his created world with you.
We are all looking for adventure.
Hello, parents and caregivers. This is a special interview episode just for you. Of course, if your kids are listening, that is totally fine, as Nat Theo is always family friendly, and they might glean some wisdom from our conversation today. In fact, the kids heard from our guest, Ginny Urich, on yesterday's episode. So if your children have not yet listened, make sure to click play on yesterday's episode. Ginny, thank you so much for joining us. I've loved watching your movement, 1000 Hours Outside, grow and impact so many families, including my own, over the past several years. And I also thoroughly enjoyed your new book, Until the Streetlights Come On. Ginny is also the host of a very popular podcast, 1000 Hours Outside. Can you please tell parents a little bit about yourself, your family, and what you inspire families to do with 1000 Hours Outside?
Well, it's really simple. The goal is to go outside for 1000 hours.
I just love it.
Within a year. But truly, if you don't hit that number, I mean, and a lot of people go over, we don't. I'm not that good at it. But if you don't hit the number, the point is about being intentional about nature time because it really provides so much that kids are needing. I say it's the answer to a lot of modern day parenting problems because the biggest parenting problem is screens. How do we keep our kids off? And one of the ways to do that, for it not to be a conflict that's constantly happening, is that we fill our lives with other good things and there's just not time for screens. So it's doing a lot, helps kids with their development. I am just a mom. I live in Michigan. We've got a lot of laundry and I never know what's for dinner. And that's really just my bio right there. But our kids are 15 down to 7. This is a transition time of parenting and I'm feeling it where we don't have little ones and no diapers. And also we're transitioning toward adulthood. So it's an interesting time to be a parent and it's really fun and special. Parenting is always changing, which is tricky. However, I will say that the nature time still works. And we made the goal of getting outside for an extended period of time a decade plus ago. And surprisingly, it still works. And it still solves a lot of the problems that I think are tricky ones parenting in this day and age. So we are in the land of the hand, which is what a lot of people call Michigan. So it's shaped like a glove. And we have got cold winters and beautiful summers. And a lot of beauty here to get outside and enjoy.
Oh, I love it. My husband's parents live in the UP of Michigan. And so we get up there to Lake Superior, usually at least once a year. And we just love it. It's absolutely beautiful.
You have to tell people that UP stands for Upper Peninsula. Because
yes, thank you. Thank you for that.
And people call themselves Youpers, but it's spelled Y-O-O-P-E-R. And you cannot be a Youper unless you actually live up there. But secretly, Erin, I always buy the stickers that say Youper, and I still put them on my water bottle, even though it's cheating.
Do it. Do it, girl. Own it. I love that. I love that. Here in Colorado, a lot of people talk about being a native to Colorado, like you were born here. Mm-hmm. And some people look down on non-natives. And we are non-natives. We moved here 8 years ago, but I did make a native. So my daughter was born here. So I own that. That's my claim to Colorado. Yeah. Well, Ginny, in your book, you talk about expanding time in nature and the power of new. Can you give us one or two examples of the power in new in your family and how we can spot those opportunities?
Well, our brains are wired for new things. You see new things. It's interesting. It's how you grow and learn and be engaged with life. And the screen manufacturers sure know that. So they take this app that scrolls and scrolls. It's the infinite scroll. And that's one of the things that's changed in the last decade, is that we have this seemingly, and it is, this unending amount of information. It's always new, and that appeals to us. But nature provides the same thing. It's a little slower. You have to put in a little bit more effort. It's not just a swipe of a thumb. But you and I were talking about, even with the kids, this calendar of firsts, that our world is not static. It's constantly changing. And in fact, I talked to someone recently who talked about micro seasons, and I'd never heard that phrase before. And this concept that even every 5 days, if you're really paying attention, every 5 days, things are going to look different out your window. You step out into your yard, you step out into the city that you live in, and things are changing. And this constant change in our environment is meant for our good, to pique our interest and to keep us engaged with life. And when we engage with that, it helps us to check that box. Instead of looking to the screen for that, we're finding that in nature. And you could go to the same place. I think a lot of people like to do that. You go to the same river, you go to the same waterfall. There's one up in the Upper Peninsula called Tequamanon Falls. And I won't even attempt to spell it, because a lot of things in Michigan are spelled so wild. But Tequamanon Falls, it's got a QH in it somewhere. And you go up there, and in the summer, you can play in the water, and it's just this rushing waterfall. Well, I had a chance to go up in the winter for the first time last year, a year or two ago. And it was just stunning how the water, some of it's still flowing, but some of it's frozen. And it is just this gorgeous place to be. And that's exciting, that you can find this newness wherever you are when you step outside.
I love that. That is so good. And I totally agree. When we have these new experiences with our kids, it just marks it as a special memory. When you're in a new ecosystem or a new kind of climate, yes, or area of the country, or even where you are, just going to a new trailhead, it really marks it as a special thing for us and our families.
It does expand our sense of time, because when we do a lot of the same things, our brain encodes that as one memory. So you drive to work, your drive to wherever, if you're doing the same thing, you're scrolling on your screen. That would be a really good example, right? Like, I can't think of a specific time like, oh, in 2020, this one time when I was scrolling, I remember this. Like, you don't. It's all encoded as one thing. But when you do something that's new, your brain encodes it as a new memory. And that works with the seasons, because even if you go to the same place, we've gone to the same place with our kids a couple times, like even out of the state, and they'll say, oh, the last time we were here, we talked about this. Or the last time we were here, we saw this such and such thing. And it makes your life, it gives your life this sense of fullness, because you have filled it with all of these differing memories. And I can't remember. It's like no one can say, oh, yeah, in 2018, I played this video game. And nobody remembers. But you say, well, you know, in 2018, we went to Yellowstone. Or this year, we made this memory. We had this picnic with that person. And you remember those things, and it does expand your sense of time and your sense of life.
Absolutely. I love, in the Greek, there's two words for time, chronos and kairos. And chronos is that 2D linear chronological time. It's what really like just drives us through the day. Oh, I got to get this done by this time. But kairos time is 3D. It has depth and meaning. And that's exactly those memories. It reminds me of, I love the animated film Inside Out, and those core memories that they're creating. Like, we have such opportunity to do that outside with our kids. Mm-hmm. Vinny, yesterday you shared with the kids about the benefits of sunshine. Can you talk to the parents about that? What benefits does sunshine give us in our kids? And what are some practical ways we can step into nature's daily rhythms?
I used to think that light was just for sight for a very, very long time. So the lights indoors, those are for sight. And the sunlight outside, that's also for sight. And then I learned that that's actually not the case. And in fact, our indoor light, especially because it's changed to these high efficiency bulbs, it's not a wave. It's not, you know, the full spectrum light is this, it's like the rainbow, right? It's got all these colors in it. The sun, it's different. And when you're inside, they talk about like fluorescent lights. It's like this peak of green. You can see it in a picture, and it does not look like this wave or rainbow. It just looks very different. Inside, the amount of light is less. Even if it's a really brightly lit room and you've got the big windows and lots of light bulbs in your chandelier. I mean, it's darker than it would be if you step outside. You can actually measure that. It's measured in lux, which is candlelight. One lux is one candle. And so you measure, it's measured that way, but you need several thousand lux in order to reset your body's internal systems. And that just doesn't happen inside. It happens when we step outside, even when it's cloudy. We're talking where you've got numbers in the thousands. And that's something fun that you could try as a family. You could measure it. You could measure it like from day to day and make a graph. It'd be a little homeschool project or something that you're doing. It combines all sorts of things, right? Math and weather and science, all these different topics. But even vocabulary, right? Like lux. There's a couple of things that are happening. First, the full spectrum light is going through your eyes to your brain and your body is releasing serotonin. So if you are hoping to have happy children in the morning, this is one way to do that. You get up, move a little bit. I mean, it doesn't take long, 15 to 20 minutes, depending on the time of year. If you're going to do your breakfast, if you do a little read aloud in the morning, do it outside. Because what's happening is that light is really affecting your body systems. There are over 100 body systems that are dependent on the day and night cycle, which includes a dark night. And that's another piece of the puzzle. There's a man named Paul Bogard who wrote a book called The End of Night. And he talks quite a bit about how our bodies need dark nights and bright days. And so that's that whole piece of turning your screens off at a certain time, letting your body adjust to the dark. So you've got serotonin. Here comes the serotonin. You feel happier. Your kids feel happier. This is great. But throughout the day, that serotonin turns, it's like the precursor to melatonin, which is what helps you fall asleep. And that's why often if you spend a whole day outside, you got this bit, you're really tired at night. You fall asleep like you did when you were a kid. You're just out. Your head hits the pillow. You can't stay awake. And so if you are interested in having happy kids in the morning and sleepy kids at night, which I think a lot of us would be interested in that, your key is getting outside, especially in the morning. And allowing yourself to experience that light. The other thing that happens when we step outside is that our eyes relax. Katie Bowman, and she's the founder of Nutritious Movement, she calls it long distance looking, which I love that. I've never heard of that. But basically the concept is that when we're indoors and there's a short field of vision, there is a muscle around our eye that is always contracted. Like if you're lifting weights, like with your bicep, and it's called the ciliary ring. And it's always contracted. Even when you're sleeping, it's contracted. So it's like it's flexed. The only time that that muscle relaxes is when you step outside and have a longer field of vision. And so she is talking about how myopia is on the rise because we're never having that chance for our eyes to relax and have that longer field of vision. So that's another piece of the full spectrum light. It's guiding our bodies because the color of the light changes throughout the day. Like, is there more blues? Are there more reds? That type of thing. So that's guiding our body to wake up and get going and be energized and stay energized and then wind down. All the colors are changing. So there's a lot going on with sunlight, which I just used to thought was, okay, I can read my book or I'm going to turn this light on, you know, so I can get this thing done. But there's a lot more going on to it with it than that.
I love that. It's such a more complex design than we recognize. I love just gaining that deeper understanding of it. Thank you. We love the golden hour. Our family does, like right at dusk when the sun is setting and everything turns gold. We also call it the golden hour for finding wildlife. That's when we go on a drive or a walk and we often see great horn owls and mule deer, whitetail deer, elk. It's really an active time for animals. So that's another benefit of getting out during those time is you're going to see more creatures.
Those ones are the crepuscular.
Yes, I love it. Crepuscular. That's so good.
I learned that actually from that book, The End of Night. I'm not sure if I knew that word, you know, active at dawn and dusk. Everyone knows if, you know, if they're active at night, but I didn't know crepuscular, I think, until recently.
Yeah, we have mountain lions around our neighborhood sometimes, like right behind our house. And sometimes we hear them right during that crepuscular time. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's pretty fun to kind of learn these rhythms of the different creatures. Mm-hmm. Ginny, you are raising and homeschooling 5 children, is that correct?
Yep.
I am raising and homeschooling 4 children. Our listeners are raising children. A lot of them are homeschooling and all of us are busy. How can we prioritize time in nature when there is just so much to get done?
Well, we're going to let some of that go, because this is the time when kids need these developmental inputs. And so this is the surrender. The surrender is your house isn't going to be as clean and you're not going to get done as much schoolwork as you hoped. You may not finish the book. And we have to be willing to let those things go as a mom for the sake of our kids getting the development that they need. The lack of play shows up in a lot of different ways, and it's pretty serious. There's a book called Balanced and Barefoot by a woman named Angela Hanscom, who's a pediatric occupational therapist. She talks a lot about those different ways that lack of play shows up. You know, and there's a book that's coming out in March. And I'm not sure when this is going to air, but it's called The Anxious Generation. And it's about the mental health decline in our kids. And it's a combination of just too much over-involvement in the part of the adult. Kids are meant to have autonomy at certain ages, not when they're two, obviously, because that's not safe. But, you know, by the time they're four, five, six, seven, they're supposed to have some autonomy, certainly by the time they're 12, and have time to go and play and do things on their own. And this lack of autonomy, in combination with this increase in screen time, is, I mean, everybody sees it. It's causing a lot of problems for our kids. So for us, the way that we do it, because we're staying busy, right? We've got a small family business and everyone is busy. Everyone has their things that they are responsible for. They've got elderly parents. They've got kids with special needs. They've got to go to therapy. They're involved at their church. They have all of these different things that they're responsible for, as well as the homeschooling and all of their relationships. But I think that we have to be really focused on what is it that we really want. And when we go outside, it's hitting all of the pieces of development. So it's certainly hitting the cognition, because complex movements enhance and protect brain function. So when kids move in complex ways, and if people want to learn more about this, read the book. It's called Smart Moves by Dr. Carla Hannaford, who did not learn to read till she was 10 years old, and now she's in her 80s, and she has a PhD. So if your kid isn't reading yet and your kid is nine, it doesn't matter. It really does not. Those are societal constructs. The age in which a kid should learn this, that, or the other thing, that's all made up. So that doesn't matter. And her book she's talking about, this is actually school. Movement is school. And when you go outside, your kids are moving in all of these different types of ways and in varied terrains. That's helping their brain to work better. And that's what we need. We don't need the facts because we have the internet. So there's that piece of it. Then there's a piece of social skills. And Kim John Payne says the primary predictor of success and happiness in life is our ability to get along with others. Our social skills are rampantly improving when we're outdoors because it's variable. And everyone has to figure out how to get along. What are you going to do? What are you going to play? What are going to be the rules? What if someone gets mad? How do you help them to feel better? All of those pieces, those rough edges of social relationships, you can't learn those sitting at a desk and doing your seat work. It's just not going to happen. That has its time and place, but also we got to learn how to get along with people. So that's happening outside, a lot of multi-age, especially for homeschool families. That's fantastic. You're going outside and there's a baby and there's a 16-year-old and there's every age in between and there's parents. Great. Do we live in a multi-age world where I don't only spend time with people who are exactly my same age. We spend time with people of all sorts of different ages. So that's happening outside. Emotional respite is happening outside, a place where we can go and find relief if we are having high emotions, if someone has passed in our family, if we're grieving. If we're grieving anything, we're grieving a job loss, a move, a loss of a friendship, a loss of a person, a loss of a pet, there's something that happens when we step out in nature that helps to calm us. So we're talking about that. We're also talking about, obviously, the physical body. We already talked about the sunlight. That's one big piece of it. We talked about the ciliary ring. But there's a lot there, core strength and the shoulder girdle, all of those different pieces. And then also on a spiritual level, God's given us his creation that displays spiritual laws. So if you're wanting to teach your kids about that they're a new creature in Christ, then, you know, we talk about the butterfly. I mean, it's right there. And who would have ever thought that this crawling caterpillar can turn into something with wings that has a proboscis and it flies and it's changed color? All of those things are miraculous. And we have a goal for getting outside because it's hard. It's hard to set the time aside for it. It's hard to go outside when it's hot and cold and there's bugs and it's wet and it's hard to find people to do it with. It's not easy. And so that's why we have a goal, so that this is the foundation of our homeschool and we don't miss it.
You are so right. I mean, it is difficult. Even my work revolves around nature and I still find it hard to get outside, even though I love it. But you're so right that the sacrifice is worth it. Absolutely worth it for all of these benefits. We have such a powerful resource out in nature. So why would we not take full advantage of that for our kids, for our families? Ginny, thank you so much for joining us yesterday with the kids and today with the parents and caregivers. Thank you for the important work that you are doing. It has inspired my own family. You are inspiring so many families and really changing this generation. Before we go, can you share with the parents a favorite memory that you have as a parent exploring creation with your kids?
It's interesting because I started off being the parent that carried kids everywhere. So I'd have a kid in the front, a kid in the backpack, and carrying one on my hip and trying to push the stroller with my elbow. And even those experiences were really special and fun. As soon as you step outside, you're experiencing that full spectrum light and that out breath, that exhale that you can have out in nature. And those memories were great. And what I found as our kids have gotten older is that I carried them in the beginning, and now they're pushing me to do things that maybe I wouldn't have done otherwise. So last summer, I got invited with our, she was 13, our 13-year-old daughter at the time, to Moab, Utah. I'd never been. And we got to go down the Green River in a raft. It's a 5-day rafting trip where you would sleep under the stars and sleep in your tent, and you're in the middle of nowhere. There's no cell phone signal, and your phone is put away the entire time. There's no signal. And that was beautiful. But before we went, we had a chance to go canyoneering. So this is like, you know, you step off backwards and you're releasing this rope with one hand and you're supposed to like go straight down. And I thought it'd be a piece of cake. And actually I had an awful time. Cause I couldn't do it. I couldn't keep my body upright. She had a great time. So I think most people could do it. Our whole group was fine. I just, for whatever reason, I couldn't figure out the mechanics of it. And so I kind of had fallen backwards and I'm like basically like horizontal, like I'm laying in the air and screaming and wailing because I'm like stuck and I can't get down, crying and like thinking I'm going to throw up. What if I asphyxiate? And then they had to lower me down and I'm like, how much longer? And once you did one, then you had to do another one. Oh, and no. Then it was like a 2.5-mile hike out. And the it's still a good memory because here's the thing. I know my daughter's going to remember that forever, literally forever. Mm-hmm. She was up. I went first. So she said that the guide said they never heard anybody scream so much. And I was like, well, okay. And then nobody in our group really talked to us for the rest of the time. They were probably like, that lady is so weird. But even the experiences that feel like a kind of a mess, that are like, oh, okay, that was embarrassing. And also I was really awful at that. And I don't quite know what even happened and why am I laying in the air flailing. You have these memories and it bonds you together with another person. So I would say that whole trip, and I have so many. That was just, that's a standout one, and it happened recently just because it's very unique. And I know that she won't ever forget that.
Talk about core memories. That is so good. Real quick, I just want to share one story with you because it reminded me of a recent experience with our family. We were on a trip here in Colorado, but a few hours from home up in the mountains, and we wanted to go on a challenging hike. So my husband's looking up trails and he found one. It was 4 miles round trip with about just over 1,000 feet of climb. And that's a pretty big challenge. Our kids have done stuff like that before, but we felt up to it. But as we drove closer, we actually saw the mountain, and it's this steep snow-covered peak, and we don't have snow boots. And we look at each other and we're like, I think we're just going to hike and see how far we make it. We made it all the way up. My kids were troopers. And the craziest thing was I struggle with vertigo once I get above tree line, which is a lot of places here in Colorado. I get real dizzy and a little bit anxious. And I've struggled with that for years. And it kind of keeps me from doing the things I want to do. And as we were hiking that steep snow-covered mountain, I saw my 8-year-old son start getting real nervous when we got past tree line. And I could tell that he was experiencing the same thing that I do. And I was able to give him some tips that have really helped me, put my hand on him to steady him. And we made it, not quite because there was a kind of exposed bridge at the end that he and I decided we weren't ready for, but we made it to the top. And it was such a hard hike and such a core memory. So I think you're absolutely right. Even those messy memories that aren't quite what we imagine them to be are so valuable. Mm-hmm. Ginny, thank you for your time yesterday and today. Please tell us, where can parents find your work and your new book, Until the Streetlights Come On?
The book is wherever books are sold. And so that should be pretty easy to find. Everything else is just 1,000 Hours Outside. We have an app. We have the podcast. We have the website, 1000hoursoutside.com. A lot of resources there. We're actually keeping track of our time outside So we have these free printable sheets where you color it in. Every space is an hour or a half hour, depending on what your goal is. And it involves the kids and it gives them a tool so that they can help balance screen time with real life as they get older as well.
I love it. I love everything you're doing. Listeners, be sure to check out Jenny's work and 1,000 Hours Outside. Oh, we are all